we want to choose for our text this afternoon, Matthew chapter 5 at verse 4, where we read, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And the title I want to give to our address this afternoon is Happy Mourners. Happy Mourners. Blessed are they that mourn. That could easily be read, happy are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You may well remember a few months ago I said to you that I intend to dip into the Sermon on the Mount on occasions, and a while ago we looked at verse 3. But today we want to look at the second beatitude as we find it in verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And we notice, friends, that here we find the Lord Jesus Christ describing the citizens of his kingdom. And it's good for us to remind ourselves that as Christians, we serve under a great and a glorious King. I know that our outward circumstances are not great. And as we look at the professing Christian church in our locality and in our city and in our nation, we have very little to encourage ourselves as we see the desperate situation that we find ourselves in. But friends, we are to let the Word of God to rule and govern our lives. And we are to look up with the eye of faith. And we are to realize and recognize that our Savior, that our Lord, that one who suffered and died and was crucified and put in a tomb, is a King. And he sits upon the throne of the universe even today. And he is ruling. He does say, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And therefore we must look past our surroundings and look past our difficulties and realize that we serve a one who is a King and a glorious King. And he has a glorious kingdom. And if it is our privilege, and indeed it is a privilege, if you really are truly a Christian, if you belong to the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it is a glorious privilege. And we must recognize that in that kingdom, there are certain characteristics that belong to the people of God. And the first one he outlines, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who recognize their spiritual depravity, their poverty, their hopelessness, and their deadness, and their lostness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But then he goes on to say, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And we want to say three things about this verse for your edification, to help us again to understand fully the kind of character and the kind of individual that is found in this glorious kingdom of Christ. First of all, then, we must realize and grasp what mourning is described here. What is the mourning that is described when he says, blessed are they that mourn? Well, the Bible would teach us or outline for us at least three kinds of mourning. At least three kinds of mourning. We might describe them as, first of all, natural mourning. A kind of natural mourning. And this follows the loss of loved ones. or it might be the loss of an estate, or the loss of a great amount of money or whatever, or the loss of opportunity, or the loss of reputation. But primarily, we would associate it with the loss of loved ones. And friends, there of course, there is a natural mourning when loved ones are taken from us. When we gather around an open grave, and when we lay the ashes of our loved ones to the dust, to the earth, there is a certain kind of natural mourning that each and every one of us experiences. Paul talks about this to the Thessalonians. The Thessalonians who were living in the light of the imminent return of the Lord Jesus, in that they expected Christ to return in their lifetime. And when Christians were taken from them in death, they began to mourn. They began to be disappointed and despondent concerning those who had died before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they thought that those who died before Christ, in some sense, lost out. Well, Paul reminds them that they are not to mourn as those who have no hope. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." In other words, you are to sorrow indeed for those who have gone before the coming of Christ. Not because they will lose out, of course they will not. But you will miss them, and you will miss their company, and you will miss their fellowship. And it's only natural that you should mourn for those who have gone before you. But the important thing to realize is that ye sorrow not. You will sorrow, but you are not to sorrow even as others which have no hope. No hope. And friends, this is what we must realize. When we mourn over those who die in their sins, who die Christless, who die godless, who die without any hope, then, friends, that is a terrible mourning. For we mourn as those who have no hope. The Bible talks about another kind of mourning, too. And we would describe that maybe as calling it a sinful mourning. A sinful mourning. And it may be described as a disconsolate and inordinate grief, refusing to be comforted. And we might think of David following the death of Absalom, who rose up in rebellion against him and who caused so much trouble to David and to Israel. And when Absalom was killed in battle, David was one who sobbed and sorrowed for his son, as you would. But considering the circumstances and considering what Absalom sought to do, it was indeed a mercy that he was taken. And David should have been comforted in this fact, but he was unconsoled. And his sin, his mourning on that occasion may well be regarded as sinful. And of course, we might also bring before you the illustration of Judas. Once he recognized what he did, once he understood his dastardly crime, we are told that he repented himself. He was full of remorse, but he did not repent unto life. He did not turn to God and to seek forgiveness and mercy that he would have found if he had truly repented and forsaken his sin. So that, friends, are two examples, what we might say, of sinful mourning. Well, this verse here is not talking about sinful mourning, and it is not talking about natural mourning. This verse is talking about another kind of mourning, and it is mourning that may be described as a spiritual mourning. And what is all that about? Well, quite simply, spiritual mourning is when we mourn over sin. That's what he's talking about here. Blessed are they that mourn for sin. Blessed are those who recognize their own sinfulness and they mourn over that. That's what he's talking about. Not talking about natural mourning, not talking about sinful mourning, but friends, talking about mourning over our sins. And he describes them, blessed are they that mourn. For they recognize something, and of course it is only something, of our sinfulness. We can never fully comprehend our sinfulness. We can never fully go into our hearts and examine our hearts and to see what they truly are in the sight and in the light of the Word of God. But friends, a true-hearted Christian, one who belongs to the kingdom of God, will know something about mourning over his own particular sins. And these sins will cause him to shed tears, not necessarily physical tears, because many people can cry quite easily physically. But friends, the true-hearted Christian will mourn and he will shed tears in his heart over his own sins, because he recognizes his own poverty and his own sinfulness. And he will recognize in some sense that sin has a hold and sin has a grip of him. And that's why we read Romans chapter 7. There we have an exercised Christian. There we have the great Apostle Paul outlining something of his struggle, something of his battle, something of his daily concern that he has with his own sinfulness. Oh, what a wretched man I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? This is what this verse is talking about. Blessed are they that mourn over their sins. The complementary verse in Luke's account of the Sermon on the Mount says this: Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. And does this not describe the world to us? Is this not what the world is all about? Is this not what the world is impressing upon us? Does it not say, laugh now, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die? What is the Word of God says, woe unto you that laugh now. Woe unto you that laugh now. For ye shall mourn and weep. It's the exact opposite. It's saying exactly the same thing as our verse does here. Blessed are they that mourn. And therefore we want to ask ourselves here, do we know anything of this mourning? Yes, we may well have experienced natural mourning. We may know something about sinful mourning, but friends, do we know anything of spiritual mourning? Do we know anything about looking into our own hearts and assessing ourselves in the light of the Word of God? And do we know anything of mourning over our own particular sins and the depravity that's clearly evident in our hearts? Because friends, first and foremost, notice this. This is true of all of Christ's people. This is true of all. This is not just the experience of the super saints, we might say. This is not the experience of the apostle only. This is not just the experience of the first century Christians. This belongs to all the people of God. All Christ's people. All who are members of his kingdom. They will know this in some manner and in some measure. And we may well ask ourselves, why is it that in the professing Christian church today, we know so very little of this. We would hardly expect this to be known in the world. We would expect the world to ridicule this. But sadly, friends, as we look at the professing Christian church today, there is very little of this mourning. There is very little of this seriousness. There is very little of this soberness. There is very little of this serious self-examination of ourselves to see if we know anything of this mourning that Jesus talks about. And why is that so? It is so because the doctrine of sin is not proclaimed. That the terrors of God's law are not proclaimed. That the spirituality and the broadness and the depth of God's law is not put before congregations. That we do not seem to grasp and to realize that the law of God is not just concerned with what I do with my hands or with my feet or with my mouth. But the law of God is much broader and much deeper than that. It is concerned with what I think and my motives. It is spiritual. And God's law is not given its right place in the professing Christian church. Because if it was, friends, we would not sit comfortably under it. Because the law of God would, what would it do? It would reveal to us our sinfulness. And this is what must first happen. You'll never come to Christ. You'll never appreciate Christ. You will never look upon Him at the cross and glory in Him. You will never see any beauty in Him. You will never see any point in His coming, in His suffering, and in His dying, unless you first realize that we are hell-deserving sinners. In the sight of God. And that's why there is very little real spiritual mourning in the Christian church. Is it not true, and I'm not going to point my finger at any congregation or any denomination, we must look at ourselves. That's what we must look upon. But friends, ask yourself this. Do you come to church to feel good? Do you come to church to get some kind of charge? Do you come to church in order that you might delight in yourselves? Friends, this is wrong. This is wrong. We are to come to church and we are to recognize that we are estranged from God in some sense. And that we, even as regenerate, even as the people of God, that we are sinners. And this is to cause us to mourn. We have been looking at the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have been going through Mark's Gospel. And we have deliberately taken each step slowly. We have tried to derive lessons from each step of the Master's passion until He went to the cross at Calvary. Friends, why did He go to the cross? Why did He go? He went because of sin. Does that not cause us to mourn? That the Son of God had to leave the glory of heaven. That the Son of God had to suffer in our room and in our stead. Does it not cause us to mourn and to lament and to regret our sins? That our sins were laid upon Him? Maybe you know something of mourning. And I hope that you do. I hope that you know something of the mourning that is described here. But friends, let us realize and let us grasp this is for all the people of God, and this is an ongoing experience for all the people of God. Look what it says. Blessed are they that did mourn? No. Blessed are they that mourn. You see, you may well have mourned when you came to Christ initially. You may have felt the weight of your sins and you came to Christ. But it may be true of you, you are no longer mourning. You are somewhat self-righteous. Friends, this should not be the case. For the text says, blessed are they that mourn. This is something that goes on. Yes, it may have happened initially and brought you to Christ. But the true-hearted Christian will go on. And he will be a continual mourner. Because as the Spirit of God works upon his heart, and as his eyes are spiritually illuminated, and as he looks into this black heart that he has, he mourns. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's a precious text. Oh, it doesn't flatter us. But that's a description of your heart. That's a description of the young person's heart. That's a description of the old man's heart. That's a description of every heart here. This has accurately described us all. The heart is desperately wicked above all things. And who can know it? You cannot know it. But the Lord knows it. That's what he knows. And we should realize these things are there to make us to mourn. Friends, do we know anything of this? We must know this. Otherwise, we know nothing of truly being in Christ. What else can we say regarding this experience that he's talking about? Well, the happy mourners are those who recognize their sinfulness and their lostness, hopelessness, deadness, and they recognize something of their own sins. But then he goes on to say, thirdly here, why are they happy? Because the Lord Jesus Christ gives us here a complete sentence and a complete statement. He says, blessed are they that mourn. And thank God he does not stop there, because he goes on to say, for they shall be comforted. They shall be comforted. In other words, it is those who mourn, they truly shall be comforted. You see, although the Christian is a very sorrowful man and a very solemn man, he's not morose and he's not in any sense miserable. He knows something about the joy of the Lord being his strength. He is a very serious individual, but he is not solemn. He is indeed sober-minded, but he is not sullen. And of course, we have to look at the Lord Jesus Christ as our wonderful example. He is not only our righteousness. Yes, friends, he is our example. And as you look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, what do we find there? We find one who never laughed. The Bible does not record to us that he ever laughed. In fact, the Bible tells us he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He knew the seriousness of sin. Of course, we know he was sinless. He did no sin and committed no sin, but he knew the seriousness of sin, and he could see what sin had brought upon creation and mankind. We see him at the graveside of Lazarus. And what do we find? He wept. Why did he weep? He wept because he saw the destruction that sin brought upon mankind. And friends, this is what we're to be like. We are to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it not true today that many Christians seek to go out of their way to portray themselves as happy and jovial and joking all the time? It's so far from the norm. It's so far from New Testament Christianity. Look at the Apostle Paul. Was there ever a man who is happy like the Apostle Paul? He knew the wonderful experience of being right with God. He knew what it was to have the gift of eternal life. He was completely assured of his salvation. He knew his calling. Yet he was a serious and a devout individual. He did not tamper with sin. And as we read in Romans chapter 7, which is a very difficult chapter, but nevertheless, we can glean from it that this apostle, this great exercise Christian, whatever he did, he mourned over his own sinfulness. But the Bible teaches us, for they shall be comforted. They shall be comforted. They shall know the blessedness, and they shall enter into Christ's kingdom, because they are the ones who mourn. Well, friends, I want to ask you today, do we know this in our own experience? You see, the Christian man, the man who does truly mourn, he will not simply mourn over his own sins. Yes, that will occupy a large part of his time. He will mourn over them. He will examine himself. And the Bible would teach, and others would teach us, that we should examine ourselves daily at the end of the day. We are to look at our lives and to see what we've done in the light of the Word of God. And we are to confess and forsake our sins and to lament and to mourn over them. But we are not only those who are concerned with ourselves. Because that one who truly mourns over sin, when he sees the sins of others, the psalmist talks about his eyes streaming with tears when he sees others running into sin. This is the experience of those that mourn. They look at others and they see them lost, hopeless, helpless, oblivious to where they're going. He looks at the nation and he sees how sinful the nation is, and he sees how much sin has affected God's wonderful and glorious creation, and this causes him to mourn. But he has this wonderful, glorious promise: for they shall be comforted. They shall be comforted. Therefore, friends, let us look at this second beatitude. Let us ask ourselves, do our sins ever trouble us? Oh, what a terrible situation to find ourselves in, that our sins never cause us any concern, that we're happy to go from week to week, from month to month, from year to year, and we never are in any sense troubled over our sins. It shows to us, does it not, if this is the case, how far we are estranged from God and how much our minds are not reconciled to the mind of God. And if we are never troubled with our sins, it reveals to us, friends, that we are still in the world and that we are being governed by the world and by its principles. And we are having our good time now. And we will not enjoy that glorious eternity that awaits all the people of God. Therefore, if you do know something of this morning, then you truly are happy and you truly are blessed. Because, friends, this does teach us, does it not? That before we will ever be converted, before any one of us is converted, we will know this experience of mourning over sin. Now, of course, it is very difficult to quantify how much mourning we will know before we are converted. Everyone is different. But this is true, this principle is true, that before anyone will be converted, we will know something of mourning for sin. Because when we mourn for sin, then we will see Christ. Then we will appreciate that glorious provision that God has made for our salvation in Christ. Then we will begin to value Him. And is this the reason why, unbeliever, you still remain in your sins, and you're still estranged and separated from Christ? It is because you don't mourn. It is because, in some sense, your own sinfulness has not caused you any care or any concern. And if that be the case, Christ will mean nothing to you. But if you mourn, blessed, Jesus says, are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Because there's hope for them. There's hope for them in the gospel. There's hope for that one who suffered and died in the room and place of sinners in order that we might be reconciled to Him. Because He, on Calvary, on His own body, took the punishment of our sins. And that's the wonderful comfort that's before God's people. Yes, we know in of ourselves we are nothing. And yes, we know something of mourning. But we also know something of comfort. And that comfort is Christ. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Amen. And may God bless to us His word. Let us pray together.